From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. City officials say Juneau needs a new city hall. Last year, residents narrowly voted down a request from the city to borrow up to $35 million for the project. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, Juneau City Manager thinks the need is clearer than ever.
Juneau City Hall was built in the 1950s. On the outside, the paint is peeling and window frames are rotting. Inside, City Manager Rory Watt points out cracks in the walls. A tarp covers the corners of an office's ceiling.
Where this roof leaked and damaged some of the clerk's files.
A plywood box covers a broken urinal to keep people from using it.
There used to be a urinal here, but now it's covered by a plywood box because the plumbing has failed and it blocked up and our building mechanics could not snake it out. So rather than like repairing the plumbing for the urinal, we just put a box over it.
The city's workforce is too big to fit in City Hall alone. Staff are spread out among four other office spaces in downtown Juneau. A block over from City Hall, the city rents space in a 9-story tall apartment and office building. It has constant plumbing issues. Employees there recently complained to health and safety regulators about the lack of working bathrooms and sinks. The city pays close to $1 million each year to rent office space. Watt says having all staff in one building would help the city save money and make it easier for staff to work together. It would also make the building a one-stop shop for Juneau residents who want to reach city officials. Watt looks down at his office carpet in City Hall. He says any one repair project would set off several others.
We can't replace the carpet without abating it because there's asbestos in the mastic that holds the carpet down. So you'd have to tent the building off to clean all that. So it's like it becomes this cascading series of things, you know, as soon as you start to touch it.
Watt has recommended that the city include $10 million in next year's budget for a new city hall. That would reduce the amount of money the city would ask from voters through a bond, if they put one on the ballot again this year. Voters rejected last year's ask for $35 million. Buying another building in Juneau isn't really an option, according to a real estate consultant the Assembly asked to analyze the market. It's hard to find a big enough space, especially downtown. Most have been leased for the next 5 years, often to state agencies. Watt thinks a new city hall would most likely be built on Whittier Street, near Centennial Hall and the Zach Gordon Youth Center. In the meantime, he's proposed spending $50,000 to educate the public about the reasons for a new building.
We'll just say things like, did you know the city spends $820,000 a year on office space rent, and that if we had our own city hall, we would no longer spend nearly $1 million of taxpayer money. And did you know that we are going to get fined by OSHA in one of our lease spaces because that building owner hasn't kept that building up to standard and things like that.
The Assembly will vote on the budget on June 12th. If the Assembly decides to put a city hall bond on the ballot this year, it must be introduced by its July 10th meeting. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
City officials are asking Juneau residents to consider taking public transportation or other rides to the airport this summer. They say renovations to the parking lots will make it harder to park. The long-term parking lot will close on May 31st. There's already a temporary long-term lot north of the terminal with detour signs leading to it. Parking there will be limited to 14 days. Locations for short-term parking, taxi staging, and rental car parking will change throughout the summer. The short-term parking will stay where it is until mid-June. The payment system for short and long-term parking will change too. Starting in June, drivers will pay for parking before entering the lots instead of on the way out, either at kiosks or through a mobile app. In its rush to finish work last week, the Alaska legislature passed a bill they hope could create a whole new revenue source in the future. The idea is to get paid to protect Alaska's forests. They want to do that by selling something called carbon offsets. Governor Mike Dunleavy signed the bill today, but questions remain about what a carbon storage industry in Alaska might look like and how much money it would actually bring in and whether there's any real upside for the climate. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George reports.
Ahead of the legislative session, Governor Mike Dunleavy pitched it as a new plan to help solve Alaska's budget crisis.
Alaska has a real opportunity to realize a new revenue source that could actually rival the revenue we get in some cases from oil.
A revenue source to rival oil. What is that opportunity? Storing carbon. Carbon emissions from burning fossil fuels to wildfires drive climate change. And so there's a growing market that will pay landowners to keep carbon out of the atmosphere. One way to do that is by protecting ecosystems that naturally hold carbon, like forests or tundra. Alaska has a lot of forests and tundra, and Dunleavy says a lot of ways to store carbon.
The scale that Alaska has to offer on this is unprecedented.
The governor made the issue a major priority and proposed a couple different plans to get Alaska started in the carbon business. Last week, at the last minute, the legislature passed one of Dunleavy's bills. It authorized the State Department of Natural Resources to explore selling carbon offsets. So what is a carbon offset? Imagine I'm a trucking company. I'm burning diesel to transport goods around the country. That releases carbon into the atmosphere, and with growing pressure to act on climate change, I want to cut my carbon footprint. One way to do that is to pay someone else to remove carbon from the atmosphere to offset the carbon I'm adding.
Someone else has done something good for the climate, and it can compensate for my ongoing emissions.
Freya Che is with the nonprofit Carbon Plan. She says for the offset to really do its job, it has to represent a real benefit to the climate.
So when we're talking about compensating for the act of burning fossil fuels, we have to be taking carbon back out of the atmosphere and storing it somewhere effectively permanently.
One way to store it is in natural carbon sinks, like forests. Trees are great at sucking carbon out of the atmosphere. And so the idea is that the state could get paid to protect its forests. Some Alaska Native corporations have already had success selling offsets. And as more companies look to shrink their carbon footprint, the demand for carbon offsets is expected to grow. The Department of Natural Resources has identified some state forests it believes could generate offsets in the Mat-Su, the Tanana Valley, and near Haines. Commissioner John Boyle says it's a new way to think about Alaska's forest land.
We see it as a way to monetize state resources that are currently not being monetized.
It's important to note that we're not talking about anything on the scale of oil revenue the state brings in, yet. The governor's vision included another bill that didn't pass this year. A DNR consultant estimated this program would generate only about $82 million in the program's first 10 years. Boyle is more optimistic.
We're quite confident that it will be a significant revenue generator, but we don't have the information right now to make a great guess on what that may be.
One key question is who would buy Alaska's offsets? Boyle says he's not aware of any specific companies who have expressed interest yet. But as demand for offsets increases, he believes Alaska can be the supply. Carbon Plan's Freya Che has one big concern. Will Alaska's plan actually benefit the climate? Because you're not supposed to sell offsets out of any old forest. To serve its purpose, an offset should save that forest land from some threat, like timber harvest or development, or somehow improve forest management to store more carbon. Che says, so far, Alaska seems more focused on the revenue potential than the climate benefits.
I find it very plausible that Alaska could make money with a forest carbon offset program. And the real question for me is, like, what does that program actually achieve? And what are the costs, not to Alaska's budget, but to bigger systems that we care about?
DNR says it's exploring a range of options to store carbon effectively. Commissioner Boyle suggested more active land management, for instance, to mitigate wildfire threat or replant trees. DNR also plans to explore ocean-based opportunities for carbon storage. DNR estimates it will take 6 months to a year to write the regulations to govern the offset market. The offset bill passed with overwhelming support from both the Alaska Senate and House last week, even from lawmakers for whom climate is not a priority.
Whether you believe in climate change or not, this is how the operations are being played around the world.
That's Tom McKay, Republican chair of the House Resources Committee, offering his support just before the bill's final vote.
And I think it's good that Alaska gets involved because a lot of other states are doing this, and we're missing the boat if we don't get on board.
Kathy Giesel, Republican Senate Resources Chair, stressed that this is just the first step.
Not all the questions have been answered about this particular, I'll call it an industry. There's still a lot of unknowns.
including whether Governor Dunleavy's dream of Alaska becoming a major player in the world carbon market has a chance. In Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
This is KTOO.